C6. Number 14A.
We come to the next vertical, Christianity. And the first chapter is creation. It's a short chapter with even fewer references on healing, practically none. It's very interesting for this chapter because the chapter on creation actually shows the creation of the universe of ideas. So the whole question of healing actually doesn't enter here very much. She just shows that this principle, perfect principle, perfect idea is the basis of healing. She says divine healing includes a perfect principle and perfect idea as the basis of demonstration. And also that Jesus proved sickness to be a form of error, proved sickness to be what? A creation of error. So these are the only references, and they indicate, so to say, wrong creation, true creation, saying that that sickness is a form or a creation of error. On the other side, then showing that perfect principle, perfect idea is the basis from which to heal. So this is all. It's not very much, I'm sorry to say, but we have to take it what was it is. Still, I feel the tone of it is nice. I say I'm sorry about that, because usually one only can really get a better tone when there are a lot of references. Not too many, but a good amount of them. Then you can weigh them. If there are 5, 6, 7, then you can weigh them much better than if we have only one reference to go on. Not quite know if we see that right. So there again, with a little question mark, we come to the epitome perhaps here, that we say for this chapter, the basis of healing is, the basis of healing is a perfect principle and perfect idea. Anyway, we see at least something that it has the tonality, really, of Christianity as the word, very explicitly, because it has the tonality on idea, on perfect idea, because when we are at the point of Christianity, the focal point shifts from principle to idea, and takes in the idea as the basis of creation, the basis from which to work. So we have to go on to the next chapter, Signs of Being. It is a very long chapter, as you know, and still only a few references on healing. Again, very indicative, because the signs of being really is interested in being and not so much interested in healing. And it is therefore quite interesting to see in a completely different way she handles that whole question of healing. And you will see it very quickly. I just first read those passages that are in the first part of that chapter, and then afterwards the second part, and then the third part. You will see that they don't differ very much, that they have more or less the same tonality. Just listen to this, and you see it in the very first reference, when you listen to it, that something different is under consideration. She says that Jesus instructed his disciple to heal through mind. Then the power of healing is what? A cultivated spiritual understanding of divine science, that we must learn to practice Christian healing, that the truth which heals must be scientifically understood, that the divine precepts must be understood, that we have to learn from principle how to demonstrate truth as the healing power. Did you get the new tone? Yeah? What did you feel? Is it in one word? In two words? Well, you know it from America. Learning, huh? Very much. Huh? The whole learning process. Huh? It's all about instructing, learning, culturing, understanding. Meaning that what he shows here is a science of being, that healing is something that can be learned, that it isn't just a gift of God, that it isn't just some charismatic gift, but that true scientific healing is something that can be learned, that can be taught, that can be understood, that must be cultured. And naturally, it's a terrific relief for each one of us who says, well, if I don't have that gift of healing, how can I get it? Can I get it at all? Or is it just a gift? Is it just a gift of grace, a talent? Or is it something that I can actually learn and make my own? No matter who I am, can I learn it? I read them again so that you can listen again to it. You see how very different they are. No comparison in any other chapter. Again I read it. Jesus instructed his disciples to heal through mind. The power of healing is a cultivated spiritual understanding of divine science. We can learn to practice Christian healing. Truth scientifically understood heals the sick. The divine precepts must be understood. We have to learn from principle how to demonstrate truth as a healing power. Then, in the second part, you just listen again, the second part, here again she says that we have to learn from Jesus the power of spirit over the flesh that heals sickness. Understanding the spiritual individuality of man enabled him to conquer disease. Spiritual light enabled Paul, again an instruction, again an enlightenment, enabled Paul to heal the sick. Understanding principle heals. Understanding spiritual law heals. And then in the third part, subject sickness to the rule of health in Christian Science that heals. When material theories yield, now you have for the first time, to the spiritual idea, sickness gives place to health. Do you see how she put it? It is as if in the first part she would show healing is a faculty that we can learn, that can be instructed, that can be taught. It's a learning process that is based on a scientific, spiritual consciousness, on scientific understanding, on enlightened understanding. And then in the second part, she puts more stress on understanding than on learning. That you can now understand when you have learned it. That you understand it and that understanding heals. And then in the third part, she lifts it further up and puts more stress on the divine idea, on the spiritual idea that heals. So that understanding is understanding what? The idea, and we see that the idea actually heals. There is a great educational process that takes place through that whole chapter, showing that healing is something that each one of us can acquire. That's why Jesus said that all should be able to follow him, and that all could be healers, that all could demonstrate the Christ truth. But how? So this is the chapter, The Science of Being, which introduces that. We haven't that, we didn't have that in any other chapter, did we? No way at all. Yes. So perhaps we can summarize this chapter by saying that the scientific idea of healing, the scientific idea of healing can be learned and taught. Perhaps you remember when you do it that in this epitome we didn't use the term understanding, but we could have just as well used the term understanding, that really the scientific idea of healing can be learned and understood instead perhaps of taught. And what may be better, if instead of taught we put there can be learned and understood. I think this is more adapted to the text. Yes? So we go on to the next one, to some objections answered. Quite a terrific chapter. It is a short chapter, only 21 pages, but it's full of references on healing. And when one looks through all those references on healing, those many, 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 they just seem to say always the same thing. And something very different from what we have been seeing up to now. Just listen to what she says here, and you feel at once what the subject is. She says here, when speaking of healing, she denominates it as gospel healing, as apostolic divine healing. Can you hear already something? It's gospel healing, apostolic healing, divine healing. You are at once referred back, so to say, to the Bible healing, to Christian healing, to the healing of the Christian spirit. She says that we should grow into the stature of manhood in Christ Jesus, gospel healing, apostolic healing. It is the living, palpitating presence of Christ's truth which heals. Can you hear again the gospel healing, the apostolic healing? It is the spirit rule of Christian healing that is needed. Jesus healed on the basis of his spirituality. Does that already ring a bell? That healing is a Christian healing? That healing is not an intellectual healing, That healing is not the thought healing. That healing is a Christian healing, which needs therefore Christian qualities. I go on, and I give you another set, and you hear it again, in a negative sense. The Israelites did not sufficiently understand God to be able to heal. Half-hidden Israelitish history is devoid of healing power. Do you hear? Always going right back to Bible, to the Christian spirit, to the Christ spirit, or the opposite. Orthodox churches cannot heal. The Christian opponents to Christian science cannot heal. Popular religion declines systematic healing power. Clergymen cannot heal. Do you find a common denominator? See, it's the opposite, the counterfeit of the Christian spirit. It's the churchy way, the ecclesiastical way, that cannot heal. There is another set, and you hear again the same tone. She says in here, the apostles healed, Paul healed, he gave the command to the 70 and then to the 12 to heal. The world should investigate the Christian science method of healing. All who understand truth should heal. Did you hear again the common denominator? That you would say that all can heal. The apostles healed, Paul healed, the 70 healed, the 12 healed, the world should heal, all should heal. So we have, I have put them to three different sets, but actually they all say the one and the same thing, wouldn't you think so? That it's always showing that it is the Christian spirit that can heal, and that the non-Christian spirit, therefore the church spirit, the theological spirit, cannot really heal. And that and then broadening it out and saying that actually this is not something for a religion, for a denomination, but that it is a universal quality that everyone with the Christian spirit can heal, no matter who he is. No matter if he's a Buddhist or not a Buddhist, if he's a Christian, a Muslim, or whatever it is, it really doesn't matter. What matters is that Christian qualities, that Christian spirit, that heals. And that Christian spirit has nothing to do with the Christians, because the clergies are also Christians. And all those who oppose Christian science are mostly so-called Christians too. So it is not the Christians that can heal, it's the Christian qualities, the Christian spirit that heals, and the non-Christian spirit just cannot heal. It's quite interesting also, as you know, that the chapter begins with that pronounced statement that this chapter, that the opponents and the opposing arguments are really the arguments that would prevent a theoretical Christianity to become a practical Christianity, therefore a Christianity that can be demonstrated through healing. So what she would say here is actually that the theoretical Christianity, as expressed by theology, by the churches, by ecclesiasticism, is really that which is devoid of the Christ spirit that heals. and that therefore we should overcome those objections that come from ecclesiasticism, from theology, and see that our theology is a theology of the Christ Spirit and not of a dogma. Yes. All right. Now, how shall we put it here? We could say perhaps the best would be only Christians. Now, let me put it that way. Only Christian qualities, that's better. Only Christian qualities, comma, the Christ Spirit, can heal. We come now to the 12th chapter, Christian Science Practice, and actually we can expect here quite a lot of information because this chapter deals with the subject of healing. And as it is a long chapter with a lot of references, let's cut it down again into our four parts which we have in this chapter. And I still have to rely on the fact that you have been studying last year's tapes and class on the textbook and therefore know how this 12th chapter is built up, that it has those four big categories. I think these four big categories just have to stick in our mind, and so that we can orient ourselves in the chapter. Therefore, let me first talk about the first part. I repeat it for those who may not have it very present, that the first part is that part which shows the practitioner's attitude. It is capitalized by mind, by love and mind. It has that caption, not capitalized, sorry, has that caption of love and mind, and gives a sense of the loving attitude that the practitioner must have. And when we read this passage here, those few pages, and ask ourselves, what is it that heals? Then we find actually again that Mrs. Eddy would show here that it is the loving affections that are necessary in order to heal by the Spirit. So again, we can listen to what she has to say here, that she says that which heals the sick is that sympathy with the sick would do much towards healing. Again, can you see? It's sympathy with the sick. That is a spiritual healing power. She talks about the benign thought would heal the sick. It isn't just thinking and thinking according to reason. It's the benign thought that would heal the sick. He says the unselfish affection heals. Do you get it here that there are absolutely different qualities that have healing power? He says here that we should reach the patient through divine love, that spiritual affection confers healing power, spiritual affection, that the tender word, the Christian encouragement, the pitiful patience, that all that heals. If one tries to get the overall tone, I think one would feel here actually that it is the loving affection that is necessary. She contrasts that in that first part with the opposite affections or with the opposite attitude of a practitioner, of which she says that that does not heal. And among those opposite qualities, you have here hypocrisy, stolidity, inhumanity, vice. Can you hear the exact opposite qualities of that spiritual affection? Also, spiritual barrenness does not heal. Spiritual barrenness. To bury the morale of Christian Science into the letter. Lot of talking and lot of babbling on. Flooding the patient with lots of statements. All that has no healing power. So perhaps we would do the following thing, that we write in the box there on the 12th chapter, perhaps instead of just then summarizing one epitome, perhaps we do well, because there are four here, that we separate them, and if you write very, very, very tiny, I am sure you can get it in. So be prepared that you have to put four epitomes in that box, and perhaps you write there Roman 1, first part. Loving affection, loving affections necessary in order to heal by the Spirit.